I will now read from Psalm 36. An oracle is within my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked, but there is no fear of God before his eyes. For in his own eyes he flatters himself, too much to detect or hate his sin. The words of his mouth are wicked and deceitful. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. Even on his bed he plots evil. He commits himself to a sinful course and does not reject what is wrong. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your rightfulness is like the mighty mountains, your justice like the great deep. O Lord, you preserve both man and beast. How priceless is your unfailing love. Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life in which we see light. Continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart. May the foot of the proud not come against me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. See how the evildoers lie fallen, thrown down, not able to rise.
Coming, Mom! Guess that's a little loud. Yeah, I'll be there in a minute. Mom, come on, 3 minutes, I'm almost done. Yes, Mom. You know, I don't get it. What is it with parents these days? It's always things like, young man, it is time to take out the garbage. Time to clean the bathroom, or young man, your room is a pigsty. Don't they get it that I've got more important things to do? Anyways, all this young man talk is a puzzle to me. It's like behind that phrase, young man, our parents have some secret plot to make us grow up into mature, responsible adults. I mean, what's wrong with me just being a kid for a little while longer? Can't I just stay home and play video games all day? Of course, I'm not sure I want to be 50 and still living at home playing video games all day at my mom and dad's house. Yes, Mom, I'm coming. Give me a break. I'll definitely need an apartment and a rich, hard-working girlfriend. So they want me to be a man, do they? How do I get there? Who can I learn from? What does it take to be a man? I can learn from my dad, of course. He does like his sports. Of course, it's a little ridiculous sometimes when you think about it. He'll just sit there with his bowl of chips and watch a game. But then he comes alive with this strange energy. Oh, come on. That should be a penalty. Look at this. What are you doing? Oh, wide open in the slot. Shoot! Canada wins! Woo! And yeah, I gotta admit it. Sometimes I'm right in there with him. And there's the lectures, some of which are at the top of his lungs. Sometimes Mom does it too, but young man, I have had just about enough of you. You have got to learn to control your temper. Sure, Dad. Well, lots of good stuff I learned from my dad, too. He does love us so much. He makes time for us. He loves Mom a lot. I know it. I see it. And even when he comes down on me, I know that he does it because he loves me. And he does work hard for us as a family, and I respect that a lot, too. I do learn a lot about being a man from my dad. I have my teachers at school, my cadet counselors, and I have a bunch of people at church that are watching out for me and praying for me. But where else can I learn how to be a man? That's easy. The WWE, World Wrestling Experience. A real man is huge and muscular with ripped abs and powerful pecs. He dons his underwear and he attacks other grown men using chairs, tables, whatever is around. He punches someone for insulting him. He wrinkles up his face into some sort of fierce grimace and he becomes a raging beast at the slightest provocation. Or a real man is like Tim Taylor. He likes to play with engines and fix things. His dream come true is a carburetor that is strong enough to chew up hockey sticks and tree branches. Oh, oh, oh. I hear there's even talk of opening a theme park, a place where guys can go to work with heavy equipment and power tools, get to drive those big, big trucks and tractors. I've even seen the t-shirt already. I lost a thumb at Manland. Of course, there's always the money question. You could say a real man is someone like Bruce Wayne from the recent Batman flicks. He arrives on a helicopter to a huge party, fancy party, and he has a gorgeous young woman on each arm. Powerful, good-looking, irresistible to women. But there's got to be more to being a man than this. A lot of this stuff is totally ridiculous. What did God have in mind when he made us? That's what I want to know. Nothing so shallow as most of what we're taught, I hope. If we look at the Bible, in Psalm 36, we catch a glimpse of what God wants us from us. And there's this contrast it makes between the wicked man and the righteous. And here's how a wicked man is described. Because there's no fear of God before his eyes. For in his own eyes, he flatters himself, too much to detect or hate his sin. The words of his mouth are wicked and deceitful. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. And even on his bed, he plots evil. He commits himself to a sinful course, and he does not reject what is wrong. Interesting. Now, obviously, this is a bad person, a wicked man, right? Plotting evil, doing harm to others, lying, cheating. But there are a few other lines here that might hit a little close to home. It says, there is no fear of God before his eyes, for in his own eyes he flatters himself too much to detect or hate his sin. He's doing bad stuff, but he flatters himself. He says, this is not so bad. And this is why it's the right thing for me to do. And that one hits home. Somehow we can be good at talking to ourselves about everything, justifying what we do. We convince ourselves that what we are doing right now is right for us, and so that we can just do this and be the way we are. We flatter ourselves so that we no longer see our sin. Even something small like playing video games. And we say to ourselves, there's nothing wrong here. It's fun. I like playing them. And it's true that playing games is not bad. But if we're playing games and then neglecting our responsibilities, like helping mom with the cleaning, yes, mom, a few more minutes, please, then there's something wrong. We're making excuses, flattering ourselves. We cease to be wise. We stop doing good. We instead close our eyes to what we know we should do. And when we do that, we are usually trying to forget that God really does want more of us, that he wants us to grow up, to be mature and responsible, to be fully alive, and that forgetfulness and self-deception is part of what keeps me flying low, keeps me dead almost. The Bible says that's not who God wants me to be. So, but who does God want us to be as men? What does this look like? Psalm 36 continues, says, your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your justice like the great deep. Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. In your light, we see light. If we want to be real men, We will let God be our inspiration. And the first part of that is being inspired by God's love. After all, God didn't create us to be savage beasts who are emotionally disconnected. He made us to be good lovers, loving others the way He loved us, loving our families, brothers and sisters, loving people at school. We are to love the way Jesus loved us, to care for our wives, our kids, our friends, and yes, even our enemies. True strength in God's book is not measured here. It is measured here. God also leads the way in righteousness and justice, showing us the right way to live, caring for our planet, caring for the poor, defending those who need our help. In our world today, it is so easy to live for yourself, ignoring tasks and responsibilities. Yeah, just 3 more minutes, Mom. Come on. I'm almost done. Almost done. Ignoring the people that God has put in our life who need our help. Sometimes that's Mom, if I'm honest. God has given us hands and feet and minds and bodies, not to be wasted for selfish things, but to be able to give and to serve others. That has to be the first priority for a true man. But thirdly, a true man takes refuge in God. We have a God who loves us so much. And the Psalm 36 talks about that God gathers us into His presence and He feeds us at His table with abundance and this fountain of life and beauty and all this, and that this is what God wants for us. And so a true man is someone who is caught up with God in a sincere and deep relationship where we drink deeply of His love and the life that He gives us. And we tend to admire people who are able to do it all on their own. Superman, right? The pinnacle of manhood, lives in a fortress of solitude by himself in the Arctic wilderness. We say, is that how it's supposed to be? You and I are not supposed to hole up, pretend that we're super powerful and invincible. I am not a rock. I am not a man of steel. God made me to be a real man, a real person, with thoughts and feelings. I need other people, and I need God. And in the end, this is what God wants for us. He wants us to come to Him. And it doesn't matter if we're men or if we're women or boys or girls, it doesn't matter. He wants us to come to Him, to learn from Him, to follow Him, to be like Him, to love Him. Our God will make us caring and thoughtful, deep and rich in wisdom. We will become better lovers. We will fight for and defend those who need our help. And we will open our lives to walk with and love our God. Now there's this code that I learned at Cadets all those years ago. And it's a good one. Spelling out of Christian character what God wants from us as men. Maybe you guys can help me in saying this together. And some of us who were cadets before, if you remember, let's say this together. A cadet is reverent, obedient, compassionate, consecrated, trustworthy, pure, grateful, loyal, industrious, and cheerful. You know, it's true. Our parents, our teachers, our pastor, God, and even our cadet counselors are all in cahoots. They all want us to grow up to be mature, responsible young men and women. They want us to live life in a beautiful and full way. They want us to become what God meant for us to be. I say, let's do our best to learn these lessons well. Will you pray with me? Father God, we come to You. And Lord, we are all seeking what it means to be men, to be women. We are seeking what you want from us, who you made us to be, what your purpose is for us on this world. Lord, we know that you are a God who cares very much about us, so much that you came into this world to teach us yourself, to walk with us, to love us. You have spoken to communities of people over the course of thousands of years. You have performed miracles. You have taught us. And so, Lord, we know that you are invested in this. And we know that we can't do this alone, that we have so many things that distract us. We need your help to become men, to become women who really reflect you, who live the way you want us to be, a people fully alive. We need you to do your work in us, and Lord, help us to be good students. Help us to listen well, to recognize your call on us. Lord, when it's time, Lord, to get up off the couch and follow you, to take up our responsibilities, give us grace, courage, and strength to do that. We thank you, Lord, for those you have put in our lives to teach us this, that you are speaking to us through our parents, through our teachers, through our cadet counselors and GEMS leaders. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us, for your work that you are doing in us, that we are a work in progress. We thank you, Lord, that you care enough not to simply let us do our own thing or waste our lives on the couch, but to call us into something beautiful and new and full of life and purpose and joy and hope and peace. So, Lord, help us to take up and to hear your call. In Jesus' name, amen.